You're listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson, the podcast that tells you what it really takes to build a business and the simple steps to get you there. I'm determined to share with you the reality of easy, simple business marketing tips to make passive income so that you can start making money online. Would you like somebody else to take care of the sales in your business? Well, with the brand new sales agency from Charlie Day, you can. It's not just another sales agency, it's a game changer. Founded by dynamic, experienced businesswoman Charlie, they are rewriting the rule of sales. At SalesMade, they seamlessly integrate into your business team, prioritize customer relationships, and close your sales. With a team of specialized sales strategists who've all received the Charlie Day training and a range of packages, they are here to revolutionize your sales process. Say goodbye to pushy closes and sleazy tactics. They believe in sales with integrity, and their mission is simple: to bring more sales to your business with honesty and authenticity. Go and check them out now with the link in the show notes. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. Today, we're going to get into talking about sales because I have a sales expert with you. But before we talk about sales, I want to talk about something a bit more personal, and that's having the confidence to put yourself out there. Having the confidence to make sales and to talk about the kind of things that can stop us. The reason I'm going to do this is because the person that I have with me today, she has been a client of mine over the past couple of years. And I have seen a marked difference just in how this person is visible and behaves online. But actually, it literally changed over a weekend. And so I wanted to dive into why that happened. So welcome to the podcast, Anna.
Thanks, Lisa.
So Anna, you're a strategist, you're a sales strategist at the end of the day. You're a business sales expert. And yet, would you say it's correct that you weren't always as confident as you are now to be able to say those things?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about when you first came into my mastermind. You know, you weren't new online, but you were relatively new to what you were doing online and to the pivot that you had made. How did you feel coming into a mastermind that was full of, you know, multi-six figure people who were doing pretty successfully online? And obviously now you look back, you probably can see they're all in the same boat. Everybody always needs to grow. But how did you feel at the beginning?
Honestly, like a rabbit in the headlights, like really thinking, wow, what have I done? Why am I here? I don't think this is the right place for me. I don't think I belong here. I'm going to get found out that I'm not at the level that I need to be. And completely, despite having 20 plus years experience in business at that stage and having two really successful businesses under my belt, feeling like, yeah, like an imposter, and that, you know, it wasn't the right place for me. And just really kind of hiding in the shadows and being like, a little bit excited to be there, but also really nervous that, you know, I was going to say something silly or I was going to do the wrong thing.
I think it's really funny that you say the words found out, because I think lots of people feel like that. Like they're going to be, I've been in masterminds where I'm earning the most in the mastermind and I still feel like I'm going to be found out in some way that I shouldn't
found
be.
Found out for what? It's funny,
for
isn't
what?
It?
Yeah.
And I've had that feeling before. So I was managing director of my recruitment company. I was the only woman on the board. I was in my very early 30s and I was there with all these older men in their 50s and 60s who'd made money in recruitment on the board. And I had this fear of, I've just been really lucky. I've just had a lot of good luck to get here. And like, maybe they're going to find me out. And it took me a year or two of doing it and being like, no, I really deserve to be here. I've earned my place here. They can't find me out because there's nothing to find out. But I had to go through that, just sitting there with that discomfort of feeling like, yeah, do I belong here? To teach myself that, yes, I did belong here. So it's that operating out with your comfort zone to actually realize that you do deserve to be there.
And, you know, we talked a lot in the early kind of times of you being in DI about, you know, you needing to get out there and be really visible and have some really great photos done. And you told me once, well, I'm waiting. What were you waiting for?
Yes, I was waiting. What was I waiting for? I was waiting till I lost weight. I was waiting till I had like some better clothes. But primarily I was waiting till I lost weight, till I felt confident in how I could show up, because I felt like every successful online business owner out there was like a size 8, long blonde hair, suntan, yoga on the beach person. And I was a mom, like a little bit overweight, and just felt so frumpy and so like, oh God, like, no, I don't want my photos done. I don't want to be seen. I'll just put out these like selfies that I take of my head and shoulders, and that's fine. And I was really resistant to that. And actually, not long before I'd come into DI, I'd had a really bad experience with a coach with I think I've told you about before, who told me that I should work out and I should lose weight, because if I didn't lose weight, I would be perceived as lazy and unsuccessful. And I stopped working with him at that point. But that,
Him.
it was a him, it was a man, yes. I mean, he told me all sorts of other stuff. There were other reasons. We had two sessions, and at the end of the second, I said, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. A really horrible way of working. But it was that real gaslighty male coach that would only work with women. And I think he preyed on women's insecurities and vulnerabilities, because then they would keep paying his fees. But that got in my head, that bit about you'll be perceived as lazy. And it really did get in my head and stay in my head. And I think that took some encouragement to step out from that.
Because actually, we know that people relate to us because we're real, because we're normal, because they relate to it. They can't. I remember when I first started, I'm sure I've said this on this podcast before, I wanted a coach, but I couldn't find anyone I could relate to because they were all size six, coming out of water, skinny in a bikini, eating salad. Like, I couldn't relate to any of them. And so I ended up not having a coach for a long time until I found someone I could relate to. And so I always knew when I came online that I was going to be really real, and I was going to show that I was a size 16. I was just going to be really real about it and not try and be something I'm not. And so when you told me that, like, oh, I'm just gonna wait. I'm gonna wait until I lose a bit of weight. I was horrified, but I don't think it was actually just about the weight. I think that you wanted to be more confident.
I felt really unsure. I mean, I remember when I first joined DI in 2022, we could have recorded a podcast in 2022, but we didn't, because I didn't feel that I had anything that was going to be of value to say to your listeners. And now when I think about that, that makes me feel so sad that we didn't do that. But
That's
that,
crazy.
and why did I feel like that? I think I felt like that because I wasn't a beginner. Like I say, I'd had two really successful businesses under my belt, 20 plus years of experience at that stage, but I was new online. And I was even hesitant to call myself a sales expert, even though I had 20 years of sales experience. And it was my first one-to-one with you that you said, why are you not calling yourself a sales expert? And it almost made me feel sick when I had to go online after our first one-to-one and say, hey, I'm a sales expert. And then as soon as I started to own that, I said, I actually am a sales expert. I'm not just pretending. I
Yeah,
really
I think
am a
sometimes we
sales
have to convince
expert.
ourselves, don't we? Which is ridiculous.
Oh yes, I remember that I am. But I think it was because almost, and I'd made this transition from offline, because my two previous businesses were offline, and I've made this transition to online really during the pandemic. And so it was early days, and I could look around me and I could see people, like, people who had multi-7-figure online businesses. And that's where I felt like I was very different. And that's where I felt like, I don't know if I'm enough. I don't know if I fit in this world. I don't know if I've got this like slick, polished image. And that's when I was sort of was really doubting, what if I say something wrong? What if I offend somebody? Or what if somebody thinks that I'm copying them? Because this person over here is talking about sales and this person's talking about marketing, and how can I be different? And it was really just trying to, and I think there was a wee bit of an identity thing going on as well, because when I first left my role in recruitment, that was, although it was like an SME, it was a fast-growing business. It was quite a professional and quite a corporate environment, the clients that I used to deal with. And I had to be very professional, and I had to be, if you talk about feminine and masculine traits, I had to do all that sort of very masculine stuff, you know, the pushing, the forcing,
Yeah.
the being strong, the don't be too emotional, all that stuff. And then when I came away from that and set up my second business, which was completely different, it was a baby swim business that I set up when I left recruitment. And that was, it was like if you imagine a pendulum swinging from this
Straight the
very
other way.
extreme, it completely went the other way. I went so sort of like fluffy and soft, and I'll never do that again. And everything's so kind and so gentle and so lovely. And then I think it almost like that pendulum had to swing both ways before it kind of settled in the middle. And I think, you know, when we're talking about finding that confidence, part of that was like learning about myself and realizing that I don't have to be one or the other. Actual fact, I can be two sides of the same coin, and that's what is going to make me really good online. It's the one half is that real sort of futuristic, you know, can see things, can make things happen, can create things, can push things, can deliver things, but combined with that real sort of gentleness, kindness, generosity, and I don't have to be one or the other. I can be both.
And
And
actually, you can just be you. You don't
yeah,
even have to make a decision about
no,
where that is because it's just whoever you are.
absolutely. And that's what I got really stuck on, because I got really stuck with like, well, what is my brand? Because am I this like pink, soft, fluffy type thing, or am I this like navy white and red, like professional person? And then I was like, well, I'm kind of both. So I just need to mix that up a bit and be both and just show. And it was only when I really started to think, I'm just going to show up as me and be the version of me, because that is what has always worked in the past. And so I need to stop thinking about how I'm going to fit in and how I'm going to be perceived and what people are going to think and if it's going to be good enough or if people are going to laugh or if people are going to say things about me. I just need to show up and do the best I can. And really, since I started to do that, that's when everything has just like mushroomed and
Yeah.
exploded in terms of success and confidence.
We could see that a bit when we went to New York. So, like halfway through DI, we went to New York, and you were worried about coming to New York because, you know, all these people are going to be there and they're going to be like, maybe you've done more things than you. But you came back from New York quite different, and
Yeah.
suddenly we're like doing these amazing photo shoots, and you looked more confident. You kind of was acting as if you owned it. What happened in New York?
I think in New York, and you're right, I was so nervous before I went, because so this was like my first year, because I was in DI for 2 years. This is my first year with you. And I didn't really know the people who were going, but I knew of them because they, in our world, in our online world, they were like famous. You know,
Yeah.
you sort of, everybody knew them. They had huge audiences, big successful businesses, and really confident in who they were, what they did, and kind of owning all of that. Whereas I felt like at that stage, I was still struggling a bit with my messaging, struggling with my proposition. I wasn't in this business making the same money as they were. And also, this is silly, but thinking they're all skinny millionaires. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be overweight. I'm going to be like the fattest person in the room. They are going to be skinny millionaires and I'll just stand out like a sore thumb. But always in my life, I've always pushed myself to do things, even when they feel uncomfortable, that I know are the right things and that are the good things. So, like, I'd booked it, I was going. And I turned up. And I think what changed is one, realizing like these are just people. They're nice people, they're good people, they're smart people, but they are just people like me. And actually, I'm sitting in a room with these people and I am a person of value just as they are. I've got something to add to the conversation. And just really realizing that, yeah, I was no different. I was no better or no worse than anybody else in that room. And that was, I don't know, it just felt like a real awakening of you just got to seize these opportunities. And also thinking about, you know, I left that recruitment business in 2017. I had a newborn baby, I had a toddler, I had postnatal depression, I'd gone off to start a baby swim business. They all thought I was having some kind of like
Breakdown.
episode
Yeah.
breakdown. Like, oh well, maybe see you in a year or two. And but I was determined. I was like, you won't, like life is changing. But I didn't really have a plan. I just kind of winged it. And then I built this swim business and it was really successful. And then the pandemic came, and then I'd started again and I'd sort of reinvented into this online business. And there was a moment that I was driving in a taxi, a yellow taxi, coming in from the airport into Manhattan. And I could see the skyline. And it was the first time I'd traveled since before the pandemic. And I had like tears streamed down my face. And I just had this real moment of like, you've made this, like all the choices that you have made to get you here today, like this is your moment, go in and make the most of it. And I think it's just, I talk a lot to my clients about we don't always have confidence at the beginning, but what we need is courage. We need courage to take the steps, to do the thing, even when we're scared. And then when we do it when we're scared, that's when we get confidence. You know, had I not gone to New York, I might still be sitting here in this office now worrying about skinny millionaires that, you know, I couldn't measure up to.
Dead, your business exploded.
100%, it really did.
And you're now known, you know, you're really known. You're one of those people that you think, you know, they're a bit famous online. That's now you. And you're helping all of these people with their sales. And you have a book coming out in February. Tell us the title of the book.
The title of the book is Everything You've Been Taught About Sales Is Wrong.
That's
Because it's
bold.
hung in shiny brackets, it says probably.
Oh, probably. Yeah, we'll have a little
Probably.
star on it. Where do you think confidence fits in when it comes to being able to sell?
I think the confidence in being able to sell comes from being confident in yourself and in your own abilities. And it's about realizing that sales doesn't work when you try and follow a cookie cutter approach or a script or a list of questions that you have to ask and things you have to say to handle objections. When you try and do that very sort of robotic, formulaic kind of sales, it feels off. It feels off really for you, and it definitely feels off for the people that you're selling to. So I think confidence in selling comes from a real deep-rooted confidence in what you can do and in the value that you can add to your clients. So you believe in what you're doing, you believe in the power of what you're selling, but also believing in yourself and knowing that you can sell in the way that's right for you, not in the way that somebody else is selling. Or, you know, it's not following a script or a process. It's much more about being able to build a real connection and a relationship, either with an individual or with your audience collectively.
And if you know that you're good at what you do, you know deep down that you're good at what you do. People do, I think. If you can know that and connect with that, then I think it's much easier to convey that to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really think about sales. I don't think about it as selling, like, oh, I've won, you've bought something from me. It should be a win-win. Like, I really want you to buy this because I know it's going to help you. I know it's going to somehow make your life happier, healthier, wealthier, better, easier in some way. And it should feel good for you to deliver, and it should feel good for the person to buy it. And I also think about sales. It's not just like that one point in time that you say, you know, buy now, or give me your 16-digit card number, or click here. Do you want to buy my thing? It's a relationship that you have built with somebody over a long period of time. And I think that, like, that's where sales success comes from. And that's where you need that confidence in who you are, what you stand for, how you want to engage and interact with people, and what offers you want to put out there.
I think that's so true. When it comes to selling, what do you think people in the main get wrong?
People don't sell. People are too scared to
There is
sell.
that. Yeah, they don't
I
actually
think
ask
that's
for
the
the sale.
fundamental part of it. People do not sell. People don't sell enough. People are fearful of rejection. People are fearful of being perceived as pushy. So that's the kind of stuff that stops us. But then when I do see people selling, one of the most common mistakes that I see people making is they talk in terms of like features and deliverables. They don't talk about benefits, outcomes, solutions. So if you imagine, like, you and I, we both love to travel. You're going to book a destination. You're going to book it based on what you're going to do at the destination, the weather, the beach, the hotel, the food, the wine, whatever it, you know, what the experience that you get when you go there,
Yeah.
the flight that you buy, that's just a means of getting there. If you go to a travel agent and they start talking to you about, well, you know, you go to the airport and then you give your passport and then you check your bags and then you walk through and then you can get a coffee and then you board and then nobody's going to be interested. They have to talk about you putting your toes in the sand and
Yeah.
having your daiquiri on the beach and listening to the live music as you watch the sunset and the beautiful AA restaurant that's in the resort. All those things, that's what's going to make the difference. And I see coaches especially talk about, oh, you get coaching sessions, you get a workbook, you get WhatsApp access.
Overwhelming, like
Yeah,
nothing.
you get, my eyes on your business. Like, none of that mean, nobody wakes up saying, oh God, I really wish I could have that. What people want is the outcome. What does that mean? So it's all about, like, we're not selling the journey, we're selling the destination. Whatever it is you do, it's always trying to think about, are you going to, are you selling the deliverables and the process, or are you selling the benefits and the outcomes? And I
Yeah.
think people really struggle with that. And a lot of the time when I'm working with clients, I'm always like, and why does that matter? And what's that for? And why? And why? And why? And you
Someone
have
once said to me,
to
sell the sizzle, not the sausage.
yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Like,
It's
no one cares about
how are you going to
the actual
feel? How are
thing.
you going to feel? Why does it matter? Because there are three functional buying triggers. If you think about sales psychology, people buy based on emotion, logic, and urgency. And it's in that order. You capture their attention with the emotion. That's like, how are you going to feel? How is this solving a problem? How is this helping you feel better? How is this making you happy? How is this doing something that connects emotionally? You get people's attention with the emotion. Then the logical part of our brain will kick in to some extent, and it'll say, what is it? When is it? How much is it? Where is it? Who's it for? Who's this person? Can I trust them? Is it trustworthy? And all the little questions. And then urgency, why buy it now, is the thing that tips them into a buying decision. But I think too many people forget about the emotion and they lead with all the logic and no
Yeah.
urgency, or they lead with urgency, but there's no emotion and there's no logic. So for me, the most successful offers should comprise of emotion, logic, urgency. And when you can parcel all of that into your messaging about your offer and your value proposition, that's when you start to really see results.
Yeah, I love that. Just remember those three things. That's a nice, easy
Emotion, logic,
takeaway.
urgency, yeah.
If somebody needs some help with sales, and that's the bit that they know that they need to work on this year, where is the best place for them to come find you?
Find me on Instagram or on Facebook. I'm Anna Payne Sales on Instagram, or you can connect with me on Facebook. I have got lots of free resources to help people with their sales. So the best thing to do is to go to, I've got a page on my website, it's annapayne.online/everything. They can find sales training, they can find a quiz to tell them what they need to do next to help move their sales forwards. There's a leads tracker so they can track all their leads and follow up with their leads. There's all sorts of stuff in there that people can
Amazing. We'll put those links in the show notes so you can go straight to them. Thank you, Anna, for being here and teaching us about confidence in sales today. And
Thanks, Lisa.
thank you, everybody else, for listening. And I will see you next week for another episode of Making Money Online.
Thank you for listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson. If you'd like to get hold of my guide to launching, go to lisajohnson.com/launch and let's get you making money online.